Good morning, everyone. Would you please turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. It's good to see you this morning. Wonderful opportunity we have to be out worshiping the Lord this morning. If you're visiting with us, thank you so much for being here. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, Jesus says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." How often do you think about heaven? How often do you talk about heaven in your daily lives? I got to be honest, I don't know that answer is as high as I wish it was in my own life, so that's why I pose it to you. How often do you think about heaven? We can read John chapter 14 and think about this wonderful place that's awaiting for us. We can sing songs like we have this morning, Roger leading our minds in praises to God and teaching one another. We can sing phrases like, "Won't it be wonderful there?" like we have, "We're marching to Zion." Heaven holds all the world to me. And when we all get to heaven, what a wonderful day of rejoicing it will be. We can sing those things, but I want to encourage you this morning to think about these things more often than you do. To me, generally speaking, we are a very goal-oriented culture. For instance, I don't know how many of you like to be disciplined with your money. I don't like to be disciplined with my money. But I know that if I discipline myself and my wife and our bank account, that it will pay off in paying off debt and maybe even a shiny toy for me one day. I don't like to discipline myself when it comes to the food on the table. However, I know that if I discipline my body and the food that enters and the exercise, that it will all pay off in the end and I'll be happier when it's all said and done. For those of you in school, you might not like studying for your test or going to practice after practice after practice every single day. But I bet that you appreciate the goal of getting a good grade on your test, doing well in your competition, doing well in a game. So if that is the case, brethren, if we are such a goal-oriented culture, why don't we think about heaven more? I mean, isn't it that the real reason why we discipline ourselves? And we say no to self and yes to Christ, while we tell ourselves no to sinful temptations, and we do the things that Christ wants us to do. Don't feel bad this morning for saying yes. It's not bad, it's not wrong, it's not sinful in any way for you to be excited about heaven. Now, absolutely, the beginning of knowledge and understanding of God is fear. The scripture tells us that. And then our fear moves us to a love of Jesus Christ and a desire to please Him and be thankful for all that's been done for us. But it is in no way wrong of us as Christians to kind of have that proverbial carrot dangling over us, it's called heaven, and be excited about it. I want to encourage you this morning to think about heaven more, to think about this place that we all want to be, that we've sang about this morning. And I want you to allow that to encourage you to discipline yourself for the cause of Jesus Christ. This morning, I have a lesson entitled "A Heavenly Reminder," and that is literally what it is. I want to remind you of this place that we want to call home one day. And I want to talk about it, and hopefully it will encourage you. First point for this morning. Let's talk about this heavenly place that we all want to be. What is it that we have to even look forward to? Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1. You might still be there from our time at the Lord's Supper just a moment ago. 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse 3 it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Notice verse 4. "To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in" where? reserved in heaven for you. What kind of place is it that we need to be looking forward to? Well, the scripture tells us a place that is incorruptible, undefiled. Can you even begin to imagine that for a moment? All we have is our earthly mind that sees earthly things. We see hatred, we see murder, we see selfishness, we see sin, we see worldliness. We see all of these things, and it becomes a bit normal to us. Heaven is a place that is incorruptible, undefiled. Isn't that a place you want to call home? When you think about all that you're going to see on your news tonight, you're going to see in this coming up election cycle and all the things on the news, don't you just want to go to a place that's undefiled, that doesn't have all the things of this earth? That's what heaven is. That's the type of place that it is. Flip over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Beginning in verse 11, it says, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and elements will melt with intense heat. But verse 13 says, but according to his promise, we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. What kind of place is heaven? It is a place that is incorruptible, a place in which righteousness dwells. Don't you want to be there, brethren? Don't you want to be a place with which righteousness dwells and no corruption? I know I want to be there. I know that we should think about it more to help us and encourage us, to help discipline us in our daily lives. That's what kind of place heaven is going to be. How did the scriptures describe heaven? I want to remind you of that this morning. This place that we have to look forward to, what does scripture say about it? Turn with me, if you would, over to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Have you ever just thought about for a moment what heaven is going to be like? You ever think about that? I want you to this morning. Now, it's going to be different for you because we all have different likes and we all think different things are of beauty. The only thing that I can possibly in my mind wrap around that heaven might be like would be like perhaps standing on a shoreline of an ocean, looking out into the beautiful blue sea and the waves crashing in, and it's quiet and there's sun on my face. I can feel the warmth from the sun. Perhaps heaven will be something like that feeling. Perhaps heaven will be something like standing on the top of a tall mountain, looking out over miles and miles of rolling hills and mountains, and just taking in the grandeur and the mightiness of God and His created earth. Maybe it'll be something like that feeling. Maybe heaven will sound something like hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of believers of Jesus Christ coming together, lifting up their praises. You ever been to a gospel singing with hundreds and hundreds of people? You know that emotion of binding your voice with fellow Christians and singing praises to the Lord. Maybe it'll sound something like that. Whatever it is that is in your mind this morning that heaven might be like can still not touch what it actually will be. I understand that Revelation chapter 21 is figurative language. I don't know that heaven is going to be exactly like it is being described here, but it is just trying to give us a sense of the grandeur and the majesty that is heaven. Look at chapter 21 and verse 1. In the vision it says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. Verse 5. He who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. What will heaven be like? How does Scripture describe it? Well, in verse 1 and 5, it describes it as a new place. The old is passed away, just like our old man of sin should be done away with. this earth, this old place will be done away with. A brand new place, a place that Jesus has gone to prepare for us. That will be what heaven will be like. Look in verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death. No longer be any mourning or crying or pain. For the first things have passed away. This heavenly place is a place of no pain. This morning, perhaps are you sitting here worshiping your God? And are you having to focus really hard on worshiping God this morning? Because perhaps you're in a lot of physical pain. Perhaps you're sick, you're weary, you're fighting a disease. Can you appreciate what heaven will be like? There'll be no physical struggle. There'll be no mental struggle. There'll be no struggle internally with yourself. There'll be no mental pain, no physical pain. There'll be no pain in heaven. That's the type of place I want to go to. Can you relate to that this morning? Look at verse 7. He who overcomes will inherit these things. I will be his God, and he will be my son. Heaven is going to be a place of inheritance. Think of a child that's been away for their parents for a long time. That's what we are. We are God's children, but separated here on earth. But in heaven, the inheritance for God will be his children. We will be again with our Father, our Creator. And on the other hand, we will no longer long for a day to see our Father, long for a day to be in heaven. We'll be there. Heaven is a place where children and Father come together and are a family. I can't wait to be there. That's the description of heaven. Look at verse 10 and verse 11 with me. He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Having the glory of God, her brilliance was like a very costly stone in a stone of crystal, clear jasper. The verses continue on to give stones and precious stones. But I want us to overlook the real purpose behind verses 10 and 11. It's not just about stones. It's not just that heaven will be full of gold and silver and glass and all of these different things that are shiny and wonderful to look at. That's not the full point. The point is it'll be filled with his glory. The whole place will look majestic. Why? Because of his glory. What is this place that we long for? It's an undefiled place, a place of righteousness, a new place of no pain, of inheritance, a place filled with the glory of God. And look in verse 27 with me. As we've said before, we say again in verse 27, nothing unclean. No one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. It's a place of righteousness. Nothing unclean can enter. It is clean. It is without temptation. It is without death, without sin. Isn't that a place you want to be? You might want to keep a marker over here in Revelation 21, as I'll be back there in a moment. But I'm going to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. May I give a final description of just some of the things that we could read about descriptions of heaven? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That is really hard for me to understand. I don't know if it is for you. But with our finite minds, it's hard to think about infinity. It's hard to think about a place that will never go away. But brethren, heaven is a place we're not going to get to, and then the other shoe's not going to drop, and then we wake up from the dream. We're not going to be there for a designated purpose of time, and then we have to move on. If we have been found faithful by our God, this is a place we will be forever. It is eternal, a place of reward, of inheritance, of righteousness, without defilement. Isn't that a place you want to be? Let's talk just for a moment about who will be there. We've talked about this heavenly place. Let's talk about the heavenly people that will be there. Who will be there? Well, I said back in Revelation chapter 21, I want to look at verse 3. Excuse me. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 3 says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them. And they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them.'" Who will be there? God will be there. It'll no longer be a case of we can only see perhaps the back of God, the presence of God. God in fire, in smoke, in presence, hovering over something. Our Father, the Creator of every single thing on this earth, will be there. That enough, without all of the other descriptions, really should be enough to motivate us, for us to discipline ourselves. We should think about it more often, brethren. The more we think about heaven, the less I want to think about this earth. The more I think about heaven and God, the less I feel tempted in this world. God will be there. Look in verse 22 and 23. "I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of sun or of the moon to shine on it. For the glory of God has illuminated, and its lamp is the Lamb." Not only the Father and the Creator, the Lamb. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus. Without Jesus, we have no path to God. In heaven, we'll be able to stand right beside Him. We'll be able to be in the presence of our Father, in the presence of our Savior. But that's not all. Look back with me in verse 27. "Nothing unclean, no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life." Who else will be there? It says those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. This morning, do you have a father, a mother that has passed on from this life? Do you have a faithful Christian father or mother? Perhaps something unfortunate has happened. Perhaps you have a faithful son or daughter that has passed from this life. Perhaps some of you have a spouse that is a faithful Christian has passed from this life. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see them again? Isn't that a wonderful blessing? Attached on top of being in the presence of God, that we can be with those that have gone before us, that we can see them again. Think about all those through the Scriptures. Think about going all the way back to Father Abraham. We'll be side by side with Father Abraham. We'll be there with Noah. We'll be there with Elijah. We'll be there with David, with Paul, with Peter. We'll be able to literally stand beside in some fashion be right beside all of those that have come before us and be lifting our voices in praise to God. We'll be able to worship God in some fashion right alongside all of those that have come before us. Isn't that a place that you want to be? These are the people that will be there. Let's briefly look at what it will look like. But I want to look at it in a different way than perhaps you might think. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. What exactly will heaven look like? Well, Revelation 21 has given us some figurative insight to that. But more importantly, here's what I want us to focus on. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. How great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He appears. What will we look like? I don't know exactly what we'll look like. I don't know if we'll be walking, we'll be floating, we'll be flying. I don't know. The scripture doesn't really tell us. But here is what I do know. That whatever we are is like Jesus. And brethren, that's good enough for me. I will be like Jesus, my Lord and Savior. Whatever He is like in His eternal state, that's what I will be like. That's what you will be like. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, 20 and 21 says, our citizenship is where? Is it here? Our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. Now, you know I read from the New American Standard, and that's my favorite version. Larry Plunk loves the New American Standard. But I do like the New King James better in this verse. In verse 21, I think it makes it more plain of what our bodies will be like, what we will be like, who will transform our lowly body, not humble, but our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body. How often do you think about heaven? Let it be your motivator, brethren. Let it be your encourager. Let it be something that disciplines you. It is a place where God will be undefiled. Righteousness will dwell. A place in which God and the Father and those that have come before us will be. Don't you want to see those people? Don't you want to be like Jesus? Whatever that is. Don't you want to be there? Don't you want to be like Jesus? I have a final point for us this morning. I'm going to call that a heavenly purpose. The thing about points 1 and 2 that need to be said now is that I think that if you're here this morning, you want to be there. But brethren, you won't just wake up there. Not a single one of us are just going to live through life and live how we want to and just kind of go without a plan, without discipline in ourselves. And we're just going to wake up and voila, we're in heaven. Oh, great. We love Jesus. We love God. And we didn't ever really live for Him or discipline ourselves for Him. But we love Him, and so we think we're going to be there. Brother, nobody's just going to wake up and be in heaven. Heaven is a place that you get to on purpose. You live with a heavenly purpose. Just as if we plan for all other things in life. We're not going to go home and our bellies just aren't going to be full. We're going to plan to fill our bellies. We're going to wake up the next morning and just get paid by our job without preparing to get up and go to work and work hard. None of our students are going to make good grades on their tests just by showing up to school. They're going to have to put in the hard work, and so is the case with us in heaven, brethren. So I ask you, Are you living with a heavenly purpose? In November 2015, the Pew Research article that was presented cited that 7 in 10, or easier said, 72% of Americans believe in heaven. I was actually kind of shocked. That's great. But I guarantee you, brethren, that 72% of Americans are not going to be in heaven. Jesus tells us the way is narrow. So just believing that there is a place called heaven is not enough. So I ask you this morning, as I break this down into two final points for us. First, I ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Brothers and sisters in Christ, those who have been baptized into the blood of Jesus Christ, let me ask us a question this morning. Are we preparing ourselves to be in heaven? I purposely skipped over a word in Revelation chapter 21 a moment ago to bring it up now. There is a word in Revelation 21:27 that says only. It doesn't just say those. It says only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be there. So are we preparing ourselves? Are we disciplining ourselves? Are we living for Christ? Because if we want to be there, if we want an eternal home in heaven, we must live with a heavenly purpose. So I read these words to my brothers and sisters in Christ this morning in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. If you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked, when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. Brothers and sisters in Christ, are we continually seeking things above? Heaven is not a golden ticket that we received the day that we were baptized. This place called home, heaven, prepared for us, is a place that we gain access through our obedience in Jesus Christ and our continual obedience in Jesus Christ. We can't live for Christ for a year and then put him off for the next 50. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do you want to be in heaven? Then are you continually trying to do those things? Finally, I ask us to turn to one more scripture, and that's going to be found in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. There might be some of those with us this morning. Love the Lord. Love the Lord with all your heart. You appreciate who Jesus is. You appreciate all that's been done for you. You want to serve him. You want to be in heaven. But perhaps you've just put these things off for whatever reason. Whatever personal reason. May I just provide you some words from the scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. Do not let this one fact escape your notice. Beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you. Not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat. the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to His promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, spotless and blameless. Friends, are you prepared to enter heaven? The scripture that we just read says that here is a fact, an undeniable, inescapable fact. God is patient. He is very patient with us. He does not desire for a single one of us to not be right there beside Him in heaven. But there is coming a day in which we do not know that will come like a thief. And God will destroy with fire this earth. And then the scripture says, therefore, since you know this, won't you follow what has been taught you? Have you put on Jesus Christ? 1 Peter 3:21 says, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. It's not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Are you prepared for heaven? Friends, I tell you that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Are you prepared this morning? If you are already a child of God, fight your battles. Fight your struggles. Live for Him. It'll be worth it. I promise. If you're not yet a child of God, don't miss out on this. Do not miss out on being in the presence of God. Do not miss out on the presence of being with Jesus and the Spirit and those loved ones that have gone before you. Do not miss out on this opportunity, please. Won't you obey Him this morning? If we can help you with any spiritual need, we ask you to come right now as we stand and sing.